Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to A Matter of Truth. It's been a quick minute since we've recorded. The last episode we recorded was back in January 30th to be exact. And that was a bit ago. We covered Sanctification Part 2. Go check it out if you haven't listened to it. And I was joined by Alex, obviously, my co-host, and Janelle. She was a guest, and it was an excellent episode, and I thought it kind of wrapped things up by the end regarding sanctification. It's my favorite topic, actually. So I am Anthony, and I am usually joined by Alex, but he's not with us on this episode. He is super busy. I can barely get him to text me. He ghosts me. It's like, okay, ghost me, go ahead. But no, I'm just kidding. He is super busy. He is in seminary. He is a pastor in the Midwest. So he's got his pastoral duties. The ministry is related to the church, as well as he's got a family and the family is growing. So God bless him. That's awesome. So anyway, I talked to him. I'm going to do a few episodes myself. Short episodes, and I hope that they're edifying and they bring glory to God. That's the most important thing, and what I think everybody should be striving to do, doing kingdom work, and it should be all God honoring for God's glory, not for our own. A Matter of Truth is on Instagram, so just go plug in A Matter of Truth, find us, follow us, and we appreciate your support. As always, and we appreciate your support in listening to this podcast. So I wanted to tackle a topic that I feel is often overlooked. It gets lost. We forget about it because our feelings always end up getting the best of us. It's just a reality of our fallen nature. I think anger, arrogance, and pride, it wreaks havoc on us, especially in the moment. So I wanted to cover humility in reading 1 Corinthians 13. You may know that, and that's the love chapter in Corinthians. I love how Paul actually describes love. And he describes it with a negative, that it is not. He describes that what it's not. It's not arrogant. And, that small little end of verse 4 is something to really kind of dig into, because you see humility throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament. And I want to look at humility on some of these godly men we find in scripture, the prophets, and what that looks like, because they were not perfect and they had to deal with everyday life like the rest of us. Now we know what humility looks like on Christ, the God-man, perfect. He humbled himself and embraced a cross for our sins. I mean, that's the epitome of humility, what he did for us. So we're going to look at humility also not only on certain prophets, apostles, but how Paul goes into it. Paul covers it. He covers it in 1 Corinthians 13. He covers it in Philippians. So we'll look at it also in how he explains Christ and how we need to obviously emulate Christ in all we do. And Christ humbled himself again to the cross for our sins. Other than love, humility is the most important trait that really exemplifies a disciple of Christ. Humility is a characteristic of love. Any way you slice and dice it, one of the key attributes of love is humility. And we see it highlighted in, like I mentioned, 1 Corinthians 13, as Paul is describing a ministry without love. You know, what is it? What does that really look like? And what the fullness of love looks like. And that's the whole premise of actually 1 Corinthians 13 is it's actually talking about the ministry. So I thought that was extremely interesting. So getting into humility a little bit, humility, what is it? It's a modest view or low view of one's own importance. It's humbleness, right? So just some cool things to know. So the Greek word for humility is a compound word. The first part means low. In a metaphorical sense, it's also used to mean unimportant or poor. The second part of the word means to think, to judge. So you combine the meanings and you get, you know, you think of yourself as unimportant, lowly. So this word never appeared in the classical Greek. And it was coined by Christians. It was something that Paul and the other New Testament writers apparently coined. So the Greeks and the Romans had no word for humility because it was an attitude they despised. They were not about to get down with being humble, lowering yourself, being low. That was not the Greeks and the Romans at all. They mocked and looked down on anyone who thought of himself as lowly. So it was a term of derision, right? So we clearly see the contrast in Christians. The attitude that they put on was one like Christ, humbling themselves, how they interacted with each other, how they interacted with unbelievers and spreading the gospel to keep themselves in check. And this was something that was completely foreign to Greeks and to Romans. So, you know, we see the importance of humility because we see that Christ taught that. He was humility. And he's our greatest example of that virtue. He humbled himself by becoming a man so we could be saved. Sinners could be saved. He's the supreme example of humility. And it's a beautiful thing as you dig into scripture and you're reading and you're seeing these things, because it really keeps, or it should keep us, you know, the Christian, the disciple of Christ, in check. And in how we interact with our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family members, unbelievers, how we're sharing the gospel. It should be in love and humility. And this is something I got to keep myself in check all the time. You know, I tend to get worked up easily, and it's something that I'm striving and praying about, striving to do better as I grow in my faith and in the word that I'm reading. So it's certainly a challenge. And again, we can look to Philippians 2 verses 3 through 8, and we see this call to be united by humility. This is the absolute standard for the Christian to what? To be, to act, to put on Christ, to humble ourselves. So, I mean, in reading Philippians 2, 3 through 8, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Be in humility. Count others more significant than yourselves. Right there. I mean, there's no interpretation of that verse. It's plain. The plain text says, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. that is absolutely one of the most challenging things to do as a human. As a human, period. We were more concerned about self, about what we get, what we look like to people. The whole idea of music, you know, I can relate firsthand. My whole premise, the whole reason I played music was for glorifying myself, putting myself above everybody else. And that was the whole premise. I can see it so clearly now and be honest with myself. I wouldn't have said it back then, but that is absolutely why I did it. I loved it. I loved the accolades. I loved the applause from the audience. I loved signing autographs, all that garbage that means absolutely nothing. But I digress. Let's move on to verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of other. Verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself to becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So a couple of things I want to point out. He emptied himself, meaning he put away the privileges that he had as God, perfect, the perfect God, all powerful. He never emptied himself of his deity. He made the choice to obey the Father. At any point in time, he could have called down a legion of angels at any point in time he wanted, but he knew what had to be done and he was obedient to the Father. So I just want to point that out, which I'm sure you guys all know, but you know, there's some other thoughts regarding that about him emptying himself that people like Bill Johnson teach, which is complete heresy. So he was never just fully man. We know that. Just want to point it out. So getting back to humbling ourselves and kind of working our way through that in verse 4, I mean, how often do we sincerely count other people's interests, put other people's needs and wants above our own? It's again, it's one of the most difficult things to do. But if we're looking at Christ, the only Son of God and what he did for us, I mean, that's what putting Christ on is. It's to emulate him and to count others as more important. So when we're in an argument or a discussion that we're not seeing eye to eye, I mean, just remember that. Just think about that, because the bottom line is, you know, we're not always right. We're humans, we're flawed. So we should humble ourselves to welcome correction, to welcome something being pointed out and learning. I think that's one of the greatest things I found in my walk as a Christian over the last 3 years is learning from godly men and learning from godly women, you know, just by their attitude or what they're exemplifying in their day-to-day life. We can all learn, okay? And it's okay not to have the last word. Again, that's humbling yourself, you know, getting a dig in. Those are the types of things I think as Christians we need to focus on, because life happens and we get so wrapped up in what we're into during the day, and being humble, humility, just it goes out the window. It's like the first thing to go out the window, and what comes in? Arrogance and anger. And that kind of leads into looking at 1 Corinthians 13, right? So just a little bit of background. I mentioned it earlier with respect to Corinthians. The church in Corinth was founded by Paul on a second missionary journey. You can look at Acts 18:1. And after ministering in Corinth over a year and a half, Paul was brought before a Roman tribunal by Jewish leaders. He was charged, but the charges were strictly religious. They weren't civil, so the case was dismissed. Shortly after that, he returned to Ephesus, and from there, he returned to Israel. So again, he wrote 1 Corinthians. He wrote the book, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians, because the culture, they were unable to break away from the carnality, this immaturity that they that they had shown, this division that was happening within the church. So it was a real problem, the Corinthian church, with respect to worldliness and not divorcing themselves of the culture. So here we have, set yourself apart. Don't become like the world. And that is a message that rings true throughout Scripture. We're not to find neutrality, a common ground with the world. I stand by no neutrality. It is Scripture alone. And that's what I believe every Christian should be getting out of the New Testament. There is no neutrality. There's nothing, we have nothing in common with the unbeliever and the world when it comes to the things of God and the things of the kingdom work. Nothing whatsoever. So anyway, getting back to most of the believers, they weren't consistent. They didn't separate themselves from the old, the selfish, the immoral, the pagan ways that they wanted to hold on to. And again, we see that today. You know, we want Jesus, but we still want all the stuff. That isn't how it works. And again, I can look within to my own life. I had created my own version of God, my own version of Jesus that justified my sinful patterns and my sinful behavior. Okay. I was like, obviously I wasn't going to say there was not a God and there was not Jesus. But I didn't want the word of God. I didn't want what Christ did and what it caused me to become, to do. I didn't want that to interfere with all of my stuff, all of the things that I wanted. Self. No humility whatsoever, right? And that's what exactly what was happening in the Corinthian church. So this whole idea of, you know, within churches today, not looking and, I'm using air quotes here, judging, it's ridiculous. We are absolutely called because the integrity of God's word must be defended. It's the sufficiency of Scripture. And yes, we do it in a humble way, with humility, with kindness, with gentleness, as we're instructed to in the New Testament. So getting back to 1 Corinthians, so spiritual gifts were present in Corinth. You can look at chapter 1, verse 7. Right doctrine was even in place. But love was absent, and this was what Paul was addressing. This led to division. It led to selfishness and pride, and it plagued the church. So he was addressing these things, especially in the spiritual gifts area. You know, this goes to the whole thing. Who's the greatest? Who has the most gifts? This competitive nature, instead of showing love for all. And this is what he's addressing, Paul. So you even see that there were allegiances that's outlined in 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13, as well as 3 verses 1 through 9, with, you know, whose camp they were in. I mean, Peter was Apollos, Christ alone. You know, when everybody should have been in the camp of Christ alone, because all of these other people, Paul, Peter, Apollos, they were messengers of the word given to them by Jesus Christ, okay? And this is an important thing to remember. And I've said it to people. I mean, we're all on the, you know, in the camp for Christ, the true Christ. We all are striving for the same thing. Now, obviously, if there's some things, some correction, some error, I've gotten correction. And, you know, you humble yourself and you listen and you have a conversation. You have a conversation. You don't air the dirty laundry, those types of things. You have the conversation. I think that's important to note that if we are brothers and sisters in Christ, have the conversation with that person. I would also say pick up the phone if you know them and have that conversation. And we need to do this in our personal life. We humble ourselves. Put on humility. Have the conversation with your kid in a loving, godly way. Certainly being stern, say, but again, you don't want to break their spirit with our children. You know, that's an important point. And, you know, godly correction. And this is something I'm learning, and I'm continuously learning. I'm continuously being sanctified. My favorite topic, sanctification, because I think it's a beautiful thing. And when you can see it in your life, it's like this bright light, and you're like, wow. And you look back on your old self and how God is building you up, you know, again, like clay in the potter's hand. It really is an awesome thing. So while in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, you know, we see this idea about love is action, right? And you see the positive things that are highlighted with respect to it's patient, right? It's gracious, it's generous. And I love how Paul, again, goes to the negative, what it isn't, that it's not arrogant, it's not selfish, it's not rude, it doesn't brag. It's, you know, these are the things that love is not. And we should not, if we're taking on Christ, taking on love, taking on humility, we should not be this way. We should not be irritable, easy to anger. You know, those are the types of things. Those are the types of sin that the enemy, Satan, introduces in our life at these moments, right? So pride and arrogance is clearly the chief of sins, and humility is the highest of virtues, right? Pride and arrogance can only be dealt with through what? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't change me. I can't. I work in a synergistic way to grow in the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. You know, that's going back to sanctification. So I won't go down that rabbit hole anymore, trying not to. But again, by praying and meditating on God's word, we grow because of the work the Holy Spirit's doing within us. You know, James 4:10 instructs believers to humble yourself before the Lord, right? And he will exalt you. Here again, we see the imperative to the believer that shouldn't be taken lightly. And, you know, why am I saying this? Because James is reiterating the words from Jesus. And Jesus gives a stark warning to the Pharisees and scribes in Matthew 23:12. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So that warning, right, in whoever exalts himself will be humbled. I mean, think about that. So the one who builds themselves up will be humbled, will be made low. You know, Jesus doesn't say it may happen, it could happen. He says they will be made low. Those are powerful words, and they are words that I used to just kind of read over. And in digging into humility and humbling ourselves and what that means, I mean, as a Christian, we acknowledge our need for a savior. We are humbling ourselves. We are becoming slaves to our master who paid the price. But outside of Christ, outside of Christianity, true Christianity, these people, their arrogance, throwing their fist up at the sky towards God, blaming God, never looking at themselves in their sin and what they're involved in. He's saying, you will be humbled one way or the other. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus. Those are powerful words that we should not ignore. And as Christians, we should not ignore that. You know, there's that application. Yes, he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes because of their arrogance and how they are tied and holding to their traditions, not God's law, because God's law highlights his character. God's law is actually a beautiful thing, okay? And no, we can't keep the law. It points to the cross, and it points that we need a savior, and that through the Holy Spirit, we work to grow in our faith, okay? But you can absolutely look at Matthew 23:12 and heed those words and understand the application and what Christ is saying. If you're not humble, you will be made humble. That means if you're living in pride and arrogance, one way or the other, even for the Christian, God is going to get your attention, and he's going to humble you. He's going to force you to look in that area of your life that needs to be addressed. So I'm hoping we'll be able to cover what's known as the seven woes, where that verse, Matthew 23:12, comes from, the seven woes to the scribes and Pharisees down the road. I'm kind of playing around with that idea, so I kind of excited to dig into that. So a humble person is a content person. He's content to be the last to move up, to move forward, to move into the spotlight, right? Because the goal is to have Christ magnified. It's for God to be glorified. So the sin of envy rears its ugly head all throughout life. It's one of those private sin battles that can only be conquered, squashed down, if you will, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to look inward, and you, again, this relying on the Holy Spirit to, and praying for that change. It's something that I've been forced to look at, something I've been forced to do, because if I'm claiming the name of Christ, I can't cling to anger. I can't cling to pride any longer. I can't. Looking at humility and what it looks like on a mere man, because we know the pinnacle of humility is Christ. So what does it look like on some of these men of God in Scripture who are fallen men? But, you know, we have to acknowledge they struggled because they weren't perfect. They struggled in all the same areas that we do as humans, because we're all human. Let's look at John the Baptist in John 3:22-30. John the Baptist exalting Jesus to his own disciples. He's acknowledging he must decrease, John that is, and Christ must increase, effectively ending his own ministry. When Christ came on the scene, he was sent to make way for the Savior. So John the Baptist walked away from fame, if you will, and his words are absolutely a reminder to the Christian when it comes to putting on humility, right? One should remind themselves always, let me decrease, let Christ increase in every way. When we're on a podcast, when we're posting in the social media world that we're in, are we glorifying Christ? Are we glorifying God? You know, are we increasing Christ, or are we increasing ourselves and what we think, what we want? Is it, you know, removing away from Scripture because our ideas, our interpretation based on another man, you know, another church leader or father is more important than what Christ is saying in the Bible? It's something to consider, right? A humble Christian is content to be put aside. If another comes along and is progressing quicker, or is okay with seeing somebody move forward and move up in Christ, right? And, you know, it may be in their own ministry, because it brings greater glory to God, and it's all about God. We're all headed in the same direction as brothers and sisters in Christ. So that's an important thing to remember, not to get wrapped up in, oh, how many likes, say, from an Instagram standpoint, this person's getting, opposed to how many followers somebody has or I have, because they're not my followers. They are Christians who are looking at biblical content, sound biblical content. They belong to God. They're a part of the body of Christ. So yeah, they follow the account, and that's it. And, you know, if I stop posting sound content, you know, they're going to be like, this isn't sound, I'm gone. So, you know, we shouldn't think of anything we do as ours. It should be all for the greater glory, for God, in Christ alone, period, end of story. And again, it's one of those things where you can look at your old self and you can... It's almost like you don't forget your old self, because it serves as a reminder of where you never want to be again. So getting back to humility, let's look at the Old Testament Hebrew for humility. It's shafel. Its definition is to become or to be low, sink, be humbled, be abased. So I just kind of wanted to touch on a little bit of the Old Testament and in describing that. So it describes lowliness, contrasting it with exaltation. Humility involves being willing to stoop low, to get involved, and to interact with others. The focus is on others, being humble. Again, we talked about that, and we can look to Philippians. Again, that's outlined with respect to in verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. So the focus is on others. A key Old Testament verse with respect to humility is Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Right there, you know, he's talking about those that submit to God's law and repent under his judgment, right? This is a whole attitude of a Christian, is our need for a savior, humbling ourselves before our God, before our Lord, and confessing our sins and repenting. It's making ourselves low because we don't have it figured out. We don't have the answers. We don't. We only get, we can gain knowledge, but have no wisdom. It is the Holy Spirit that provides us wisdom from the knowledge that we're getting, whether it's through science books, through scripture, you know, and this is so important to pray for wisdom. Yeah, we can gain all the knowledge. We can go to college, but I'm sorry, without Christ, outside of Christ, we have nothing figured out. Doesn't mean you're wise. Does not mean you have wisdom just because you have a piece of paper or 10 pieces of paper hanging on the wall. Wisdom comes from the Lord alone, right? And to humble yourself and say, I can't do it. I don't know it. I might be wrong when we're being corrected and we're confronted with a potential error in what we've said or written or something like that. It's okay. Because that's putting away pride and arrogance, the pride of self that, oh, no, you can't correct me. Well, no, actually, if it is sound and from scripture and done in a way with gentleness, kindness, with humility, we should all be able to sit back and listen and not so quickly put up our defenses. And that's what we do as humans. That's what we do. And, that's kind of that thing where it's outside of Christ prior. I struggled with that my whole life, being told, being corrected. I couldn't stand it. So this is something that the Holy Spirit is working a work in my life. And I see it, I feel it. And it's something I pray for. I pray for wisdom. And I just think it's an important thing to point out. So getting back to that, the text, Isaiah 57:15. So a related New Testament verse is one we covered in Philippians 2:5-8. And I'll just read it here again. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Here we go. In heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you see, Christ's his whole life was pointing to God the Father and doing the will of God the Father. Christ willingly did what God wanted him to do the work that was set before him. Okay. So, you know, we as people can look at that and apply that in our own life in a way where all we do should magnify Christ. It should all give glory to him. It pushes away, deflects, if you will, praise on us, and it should all be pointed to God the Father. That is why we're here. That is why we were created, to worship and glorify God. That's what we should be doing in church, in our worship, in our prayer, in everything we do. And that's absolutely the toughest thing ever. I mean, you know, you're at work. You know, you should be working, and in your work, you're glorifying God. You know, so even let's round this out a little bit more. A humble person is going to accept the situation, the condition that God sees best for him. And that's a difficult thing as well, because we want what we want, right? But God puts us in situations, and we need to humble ourselves and be like, this is where God wants us at this point in time. I'm in this valley. I'm at this hilltop now. It's this thing where no matter the circumstance, our focus, even in great difficulties, should be on that we count ourselves blessed by God. We're going to humble ourselves to accept the circumstances, even though they're not sitting right with us, but we don't know it all. God has the bigger picture in frame. He knows the end all be all. So, even in the worst cases, God is in control 100%. And that we're getting, just with every breath we take, I mean, we're not getting what we deserve. We're being blessed, right? So, you know, in everything, we should be content with what God has given us. And you can look back on everything I kind of touched on, and you can see, you know, the contentment in their circumstances that they're in. They're humble. Look at, you know, again, John the Baptist, right? You know, what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 10. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And Matthew Henry puts it this way. This is a Christian paradox. When we are weak in ourselves, then we are strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we see ourselves weak in ourselves, then we go out of ourselves to Christ and are qualified to receive strength from him and experience most of the supplies of divine strength and grace. It's all reliance, it's contentment on Christ alone. And it's in the spirit of complete humility, because we in and of ourselves can do nothing. We are lowly. So this is all pointing to the glory of God, being content with where God has us, and ultimately magnifying our Father in heaven, giving him praise and worship, because that's why we were created. And that's the humbleness of a servant of the Most High. You look back at even in the parable of the wayward son. He comes back to the Father. And what struck me about that parable is just the humility. And then, you know, I'll just come back as a servant. You know, when he realized everything that he had done and he had squandered away everything, he realized he could go back to his Father, humble, asking for forgiveness, knowing he doesn't deserve anything. Just make me a servant. And how does the Father accept him? He just, he, you know, he runs, which is something that doesn't happen, that didn't happen back then, you know, running, picking up your robe and tucking it in and running and embracing. So, in all things, we glorify God humbly, put on humility, put on Christ. And we see this pattern from, Genesis to Revelation. Again, looking at humility and looking to the supreme example of humility and what Christ did, that is the model. That is what we strive for. And that's, you know, that's why I wanted to cover this thing with about humility. Because again, we get wrapped up in our day-to-day and arrogance and pride and anger just it creeps in like, you know, like a lion just after its prey, right? And I hope this is a reminder. I hope it edifies you. The study and I'm going to say just scratching the surface, honestly, on this topic has truly helped me. And again, that's why I love doing this podcast. That's why we love doing this podcast, because it causes us to get into God's word additionally outside of, you know, the Bible studies and church and throughout the week. It's one more thing that points to God and to getting into scripture. So it's another additional thing throughout the week that grounds us in the word. So, I would encourage everybody, stay in the word, abide in the word, abide in Christ during this time. It's Easter. Remember what he did and how he humbled himself as a servant and embraced the cross for our sins. And he is risen. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful time. And get to church. And I hope your church is not having a play. I hope they're digging into the powerful message that's outlined in scripture of what it means for the believers, those in Christ, that Christ is risen, and the gospel message to all, right? So thank you for listening. Again, I hope it's edifying. And you know what? A Matter of Truth, it's on Instagram. It's on all the major podcasting platforms. You've obviously found it because you're listening. So have a blessed Easter, like I said, and thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next time. All right. God bless.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.